Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Man, some interesting things are happening in the world. You know, we always want to keep you abreast. We don't want to bury our head in the sand of denial. Mm. And at the same time, we don't want, you know, life's happenings to paralyze us because we move in confidence and faith. But you got to just really look at, and I want to encourage you, if you're looking at your news, understand God knew this day was coming. And when it seems like things are happening negative in the context of the world, realize you're about to see something totally awesome happen in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You can look back and you look at the previous moves of God where the latter rain and the outpourings that have taken place, and can't even name them all. John, can you name a few?
Oh, my goodness. Look at the Great Awakenings first.
Right.
Great Awakening, second Great Awakening. Look at the revival in Asbury. Look at what happened, of course, in Azusa Street. Of course, most recently what happened with the Brownsville outpouring.
And you look at with Azusa Street, you had this major... It was a San Francisco earthquake that they just came out of this earthquake.
Yeah.
Great disaster that happened.
Yeah.
It was followed by, you know, Azusa Street taking place.
Well, Argentina had a tremendous revival, but that nation was economically going over the cliff. They were done. And just amazing what happened out of there. Stadiums.
Wow.
And just, in fact, the Argentinian revival happened before the Brownsville revival. Actually, Steve Hill had a chance to be out there with Carlos Anaconda, I think, and some of those guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Is he the one that came to the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry?
Yeah, he's been out there before, yeah.
I loved listening to him.
You know, yeah.
He's an abider, obviously, because he would go, you know, these awesome things that God would do, and he'd run back in his abiding time and say, look at God, what you did. Oh, my goodness. You know, right?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is what history says, and it's because of our human nature. You know, human nature is you have to get our attention. Because we have to participate in a move of God. We have to, you know, follow God. We have to turn to Him. We have to repent. We have to want and desire the things of God. And there's nothing like cutting off your water that makes you thirsty.
Mm. That's right.
There's nothing like losing your job and your unemployment, having six more weeks to run. Mm. You know, those type of things. And so you can, don't look at this thing, what's taking place, as a negative. Look at is that God's about to do something major that if he would told you, you would not even believe what he's about to do. He's just got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's got our attention, and he's going to begin to move. And you're going to see those of you who've been laboring in the harvest field, and it seems like you've been, you know, prophesying to trees and preaching to walls and doing everything you can to turn a neck, but it was so stiff it wouldn't even turn to the left or to the right. That understand these kind of environments soften those necks up and soften the heart, and it causes us to no longer look at our own self, and we don't say that our own strength is our own God, because our own strength is at its end. And so at that point, a man begins to look up, and the deception that was sown in the world and the nations at that time is being revealed to be untrue because it is not working for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it working for you? And they realize it's not working. They were deceived in thinking that, you know, I can do this thing myself. I'm a self-made man. I got my 401k, my retirement plan. I got this thing all figured out. And now people are on the verge of that all coming to an end. But then we turn to God. And we cry out to God, and God says, so merciful. Don't underestimate the mercy and the grace and the love of God. A God who will orchestrate the earth and the universe that he created in such a way that it just kind of like shakes a little bit because he could just swat it out of the universe, but it just shakes. It just tilts just a little bit. It just tilts just a little bit. And it don't take much. When you start tilting the earth a little bit, seasons change, everything change, harvest change. And he just tilts spiritually, if you would, the earth a little bit, and everybody's running all over the place. And what happens is, he says he does this to be able, he says in the book of Isaiah, to teach us righteousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, to teach us the right way, how he's designed things. And there's nothing like hard times. I'll never forget watching when really this all began to, in the context of what God was doing through what he was sharing with me and what we're participating in with the Malachi mandate, you know, prophesying for 10 years in the spirit of Elijah about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And he stopped it and he said, listen, you know, at this point that didn't respond. He says, well, what's going to follow that? Or else I'll smite the earth with a curse, and the curse will be, the earth will begin to do what I'm talking about. And it was right after that when the earthquakes in Haiti hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And, you know, I've never been to Haiti, but my son's been to Haiti, and I got some friends that are in Haiti, and they've been to Haiti. And I, obviously, with today's technology, you can be anywhere.
Mm.
And it wasn't the most godliest environment. It was many small g false gods and voodoo and all this other kind of stuff going on, just parched. And I think 50% of the population was 17 years of age and under. If anything happened in regards to Christianity, darkness, all this false witchcraft and everything would come out, and they would try to undo anything that was done. One example is that they had a baptism take place in the water in the ocean there, mm-hmm. in Haiti. And after they finished having a baptism, some of the people who were involved in witchcraft, they were scared. Now, they were fearful. The devil told them, I would assume, that now this is going to bring a defeat to the devil's kingdom here, because that's how powerful baptism is, by the way,
wow. mm-hmm.
when you're that close to darkness. And so they look out there where they baptize it, and all of a sudden you have this lady walking back and forth naked in the clothes, and out of clothes, trying to bring and curse that what just took place. And then they took a cow and all the blood, the chicken blood and all that kind of stuff, and marched it around the compound where the orphanage was, where the baptism experience came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Haiti.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's also Christians there, but that's Haiti. And when the earthquake happened, and you can see footage of this, and I wish I had it. I don't know if I have footage of it or not. We would have talked about it on VFN radio. But it was amazing, because in that environment where everybody's pretty much passive and quiet about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the reality of the kingdom of God in a way that darkness seems to be dominant, they're running down the streets going, Jesus! I mean, everything's shaking and quaking, and mm-hmm. they're going, we've sinned, we've done this, we've done, and there's immediately, you know, men begin to acknowledge sin and disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, you know, you probably never had this before, but you have a child that, you know, maybe a teenage child or a child, maybe a young child, that you say, did you do this? And they go, well, no, I didn't do it, and so you kind of let it go, and then all of a sudden something happens again. They say, well, did you do this? And, no, I didn't do that. And it just goes on for a long period of time. And it's like, man, I'm totally convinced this kid did not do that, you know. And then all of a sudden it comes to a head. They do it again. And, you know, the entire world shows up as a witness and says, you know, your child did this. And so now you're going to confront that child.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, you've been lying to me, you know, this thing you've done. And then now the earth's about to shake. And just like these Haitians were, the child begins to go, I did it, I'm so sorry. I mean, like, what? I mean, all along, that child could have said the very first time, yes, I did it, and could have dealt with it. It would have been a lesser thing. But the fact that it took all of those witnesses, it took all of that shaking of the world to be able to get to that point, and all of a sudden they just start. And sad to say, that's kind of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of human nature. So don't be shocked when you have a people that have walked for so long as if everything's okay, and what they're doing, there's a facade, you know, it's a religious facade or I'm okay facade. And then their world starts to shake, that they're not going to begin to say, listen, you know, I've lived my life my way. I've done my own thing. I've been prideful. You know, I deserve this, you know, in my life. Do you think God will forgive me? I need to get this thing right in my life. and don't be just shocked and offended, you know, because you spent, you know, 5 years or 10 years with somebody that they looked you square in the face and said, "No, that doesn't. This doesn't. No, it's really fine." And it's like, if this is what it takes, if this is what it takes to save souls, that, listen, a shaking earth and an earthquake and a tornado and all these different things and economy collapsings or whatever, that's not as bad as hell forever where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's forever. Mm-hmm. It's forever. That's amazing. It's amazing how many people play around with the whole idea in their life. It's just like, is it going to take an earthquake for you to get serious with God? Is it going to take a disaster? And that's why I talked to someone. I said, "Well, listen, we just need to pray that disaster would come your way."
Listen, for years I'd witness and share the gospel.
Of course, by the way, they go, "No, no, no, no." It's like, what do you mean? Wouldn't they help you out? You wouldn't have these little difficulties?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Actually, it's the same thing. For many years, I'd witness and share the gospel with people, and I said, "Oh, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready." I said, "Well, what would have to happen? I mean, what would have to happen for you to be ready?" I say, if you lost your leg, would you be ready? If you were in a tragic accident, if you were in the hospital, you know, and you were given 30 days to live, would you be ready then to give your life to the Lord? And without a doubt, everyone, "Oh, yeah." I mean, why does it have to take something like that? Why do you have to be without a leg? Why would you have to lose a child? Why would you have to be at the bottom of the barrel of tragedy and setback and heartache and destruction for you to tap out and say, you know, "I'm done with this and I need God."
Right.
You know, but hey, whatever it takes. I mean, if it takes that, you know, if it takes that, but why? You can have Jesus today.
Right. Right. And he says that, you know, "When I send famine and plagues and upon my people," my people. And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like a father that says, "Okay, I'm going to help you out."
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a famine moment. Right. You're going to be plagued for a while.
A little while.
And the things you used to feed yourself, it's not going to be there for you for a while. But hopefully it's going to humble you to the point where you're going to cry out. And guess what? When you do cry out in humility and acknowledge your sin, then I'm going to forgive you. I'm just waiting for you to get in that position. I want to forgive you. That's what God's saying. I want to forgive you because when I forgive you, because of my son and his sacrifice, Jesus Christ and his blood, it's gone. The sin issue is gone, which means you can be in my presence and we can be in relationship. I'm looking for the opportunity for you to acknowledge your reality so I can bring you into my reality. That's what God's saying. It's not about, you know, some religious fervor where God's, you know, wanting to beat on you or something. It's like, no, he's trying to save you from eternal damnation, but it's not just for that alone. It's so that you can be with him forever in relationship with him. So it's actually a good thing. So the best thing to do when your father says, "Did you take any cookies from the cookie jar?"
Right.
Mm-hmm. You say, "I took four."
Right.
Right.
I took four. And then God says, "Well, it says right here in my word that that's something you shouldn't do." And then you're convicted. You'd be convicted. He said, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. And I'm going to seek to walk with you in such a way that I will avoid that and seek an empowerment from you, God, as I trust in your finished work on the cross, knowing that your spirit is going to empower me to no longer take things that are not mine.
That's right.
It's repentance.
Yeah, it's repentance. Exactly what it is.
When we're talking about revival, and one of the key things about a lot of revivals is that people are repenting and they're turning back to God. And CBN's reporting about a revival that took place 100 years ago in North Korea, in Pyongyang, that's the capital of North Korea. And it started out with this Bible study. They started gathering and they started confessing sin. And as they started confessing sin, God started to pour out his spirit. And a revival took place in North Korea. No idea. 1907.
Did they confess their own sin or someone else's sin? today the church is pretty much, "I want to confess their sin." So it's actually our own sin.
Our own sin.
Okay.
And it just started, revival started. But I want you to listen to this segment from CBN and just be encouraged just to hear what God did in North Korea in 1907. But yet and still, before we say that, that was 100 years ago. And in North Korea, let me tell you something, it went right back into oppression and right back into so many things that are happening now. But God did move.
And this is the same time that God was moving in Azusa Street.
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow, isn't that cool?
Yeah, amazing.
I wonder, because that was 1906 Azusa Street.
And this was
as soon as people got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in a language, I wonder if they felt like they spoke Korean and they sent them. Wow. That's what they would do. They're like, that sounds Korean to me. You're gone. Right. I got you a ticket.
Yeah.
And they would send them off. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Did very well. It's amazing how one move just keeps, you know, going to the next.
We're all connected.
Well, this week marks 60 years since the fighting ended on the Korean Peninsula. For the South, it meant economic, political, and religious freedom. For the communist North, the exact opposite.
Today, Christians in North Korea face terrible persecution, but it wasn't always like that. In the early 1900s, North Korea witnessed an unprecedented Christian revival. In fact, the city of Pyongyang was even called the Jerusalem of the East.
Pyongyang, January 14th, 1907. A group of Korean Christians and Western missionaries are meeting for a Bible study in a church on the outskirts of the city. Halfway through, God begins to move in a powerful way.
They knew that the only way to survive was to depend on God.
One by one, the men confess their sins to each other, sins of racial prejudice, hate, anger, and jealousy.
They knew that nothing was impossible with God, so they called on Him for forgiveness.
God answers, and revival breaks out. In the ensuing months, thousands repented publicly, including elders of churches and foreign missionaries serving in Korea.
And out of that, they say, they think came the work of the Spirit that finally broke out as at Pentecost.
Thus began the great Pyongyang revival of 1907.
In 1907, Pyongyang became known as the Jerusalem of the East. Churches were sprouting up everywhere, and they were growing fast.
Prayers of repentance swept across the Korean peninsula. People walked hundreds of miles to attend revival meetings.
The spiritual change was a repentance movement. Believers confessed their sins and were born again.
The revival lasted 40 years, touching all levels of society, including those in political power. Andrea Lankov is a professor of Asian history in Seoul.
Pretty much every single important North Korean communist, any Korean communist of the 40s and 30s, 20s, came from a Christian family, with very few exceptions.
Even North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un was exposed to Christianity. His great-grandparents were active members of a Protestant church.
In Korea, Christianity was a religion of modernity, modernization, progress, science, technology.
But the brutal 40-year Japanese occupation of Korea tested the faith of these believers.
And according to eyewitness accounts, Christians were enduring so much persecution, but in the midst of persecution, God was moving in tremendous ways.
Japanese forced us to bow to the Japanese emperor. So many of us refused and were imprisoned. Some were tortured and killed. But the more the church faced persecution, the more we grew.
By the late 1940s, some 3,000 churches were operating in Korea. Illiterate people began reading the Bible. Missionary schools and hospitals were being built.
It was maybe the greatest success story of the American, not only American, Protestant missionaries in East Asia.
But today the story of Pyongyang could not be more different. Christians now are routinely tortured, raped, starved, and executed.
It's one of the most repressive policies in regard to religions the world has ever seen. They are worse than Stalin. They are probably as bad as Mao. They are probably slightly better than Pol Pot.
Korean Christians have held prayer rallies like this one, asking God to reunite and revive their nation. David Yonggi Cho, a South Korean, pastors the largest church in the world. For decades, he's been preparing teams of young pastors to be ready to share the gospel once the doors open in the North.
We are praying that God will speed up the intervention to North Korea.
Cho and others are calling on the global church this week to remember those suffering for their faith and to pray that God will bring another revival in North Korea.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And today, you know, Korea is the world's largest, number one country that sends missionaries around the world, more than the United States. South Korea does.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, if you have not yet heard about North Korea, if you just, you've been, your head's been buried in Netflix. Mm. you know, things, there's not going to be a commercial that comes on. You'll have total fiction. You will have no reality whatsoever. I'm absolutely. I've heard Christians say, you know, we don't even have any television. We don't have any cable.
Right.
You're thinking, whoa, they are just walking on water here,
right?
They said all we have is Netflix.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, great. Not only are you not hearing reality, now you're building fiction. So anyway, but let me tell you what's going on. If they could do it, and they've tried to do it a couple times, you know, they have nuclear missiles they're trying to fire off.
Yes.
They're provoking the world. I mean, it's coming out like nuclear firecrackers because they don't have enough. But the whole thing is Russia's working with them. They're oppressing their people. They oppress them so bad today. They don't feed them that they don't grow into their full size of that you can be as in the human body.
Yeah.
And just terrible persecution to the church. I mean, of all the people they accept as a representative of America, of anybody, this is how bad it is.
Yeah.
That they accept that. What was the
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Is Kim Jong... It's his friend. It's his friend.
Yeah, he goes over and he feels like he's going to begin to negotiate on behalf of America. Mm. And this is how far we've gone, folks, by the way. And we kind of let it happen.
Exactly. And you're watching and you're thinking, is this really happening?
Yes.
Is this really happening? It
yes.
is. It's
yes.
happening.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
And this North Korean Pyongyang.
Yeah, Pyongyang is the capital of North
Korea. It disappeared.
Korea.
It was in front of me. It's just gone.
It was 100-year revival. It was 100 years ago and lasted for 40 years.
Right. And the thing about it is, you think so. I mean, imagine, you know, the enemy comes in immediately trying to steal what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, to stop what's going on, to prevent it. And look at the oppression that came in. I mean, even this young man today that's leading, he was participating with his parents in a church, a Protestant church, right? Didn't they just say
his grandparents?
His grandparents
were believers. He was exposed. Basically.
Right, he was exposed and to know the truth. And here we are today, and it's just like, you know what? You got to get in.
Yeah.
Don't sit back and wait and think that your season would change, because if you wait too late.
Listen, you wait too late, you're bait. But we always talk about the difference of the countries that make, you know, God
mm-hmm.
number one. I mean, you look at, we're just talking about Haiti and Dominican Republic. They share the same island, same land, but stark contrast. We have North Korea and South Korea. I mean, look at the tremendous blessing that South Korea is, to how they lead in technology and so many different areas, and how the church is so strong. Who knew that South Korea now sends more missionaries around the world than America, and they're actually targeting and praying for God to do what he's going to do in North Korea? Mm-hmm. You know, it's also said that Pastor Cho is developing teams right now. He's developing teams.
That's beautiful. You got to see this video, too. You're going to be able to see it on the VFN Torch. You see those teams that he's preparing. Isn't that,
As soon as that it goes down, I mean, they're ready to go right on in and evangelize. They are ready.
Like a tidal wave. I could see them, too.
Wow.
I could see them, too.
Powerful.
Just going in and taking off.
The world's
largest church.
Mm.
And you think about it, maybe this revival is what birthed that beginning of that church.
Could very well be.
You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be kind of like how things work?
Yeah. It all start with prayer and repentance, I tell you.
Yes. Yes. Of your own sin.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of your own sin. You always say, if you're going to confess sin, confess your own sin. In my spirit, that the earth is stirred.
Mm.
The earth is stirred. Prophecies being rapidly fulfilled. If you didn't hear it this week, we talked about the four blood moons about to take place in April of 2014. And you're seeing things that are just unbelievably upside down.
Mm.
And when you look at what happened with Gideon, when God began to deliver a nation, everything became, the people that really ruled at that time were the Midianites. And every time Israel would begin to, you know, get a little something in their checking account, get their car going down the street, get a little corn or something, not corn, but get something growing in the garden,
mm-hmm.
the Midianites would come and they would just take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And Midian means strife. a spirit of strife would come in, and your marriage was going good, your family was going good, your business was going good, and all of a sudden, just immediately, the second it becomes good, strife comes in, begins to try to take it. And so it looks like, you know, God's people are defeated in this thing. You'll never get your head above water, because every time you do, you know, your car breaks down or something happens to that nature. And so God looks at Gideon, who is eking out a living in this wine press, and he calls him to be able to release to him a specific vision, a revelation, a battle plan, how God was going to deliver the nation using Gideon and 300 men. And in that battle plan, when it was exercised and they all followed it and they did what God wanted them to do, once they did that, when you see how confused the enemy was, when they seen how confused the enemy was, that it was upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They turned on each other. They were doing crazy things. And so if you're part of that day, you could think, what's going on? I mean, why is everything upside down? Why is everything? Or you can understand the way God works. You're like, dude, God's about to bring a victory here. These people are acting foolish. Mm. This is just outright. They're destroying each other.
All right.
I mean, it is amazing how Nadal Hussein in Fort Hood is his own attorney representing himself, where he shot 13 people, murdered 13 soldiers, and attempted to murder 32 more in 2009 in Fort Hood. A fellow soldier, here he was, like an officer in the military. I don't know what his rank was, but in the context of that, and he did it for jihad, and he did it.
He was a major.
Major. And he did it for jihad and for Muhammad, and he did it for radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But we called, and this was the beginning of a lot of things that took place in America as things begin to unfold, and they called this a workplace
violence.
Mm. And so now he's in the courtroom representing himself, and he's standing up. He is his own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And forever, they're calling it workplace. And so you had the prosecutors ready to prosecute a workplace shooting situation. So they present all their case and the crazy case.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy stands up and talks about it. He says, well, you're going to find out that I did this in the name of Allah and for jihad. And you'll find out that I murdered 13 people. And, I mean, he said everything that we're not saying he did.
Wow.
He's saying, and he has letters in his cell from one of the leaders saying, good job, did a good job. This is great jihad, what you're doing. And he wants to be put to death, because if you die in the name of Allah and jihad, then you automatically make it to hell.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to him.
And so he thinks heaven.
Right.
But this is the upside down part. Our president calls it a workplace violence. We have prosecution set up saying it's workplace violence. And the very man that did it is saying, hello, I got the beard going on. I got letters in my cell. I said, he declared praise to Allah when he did it.
Yeah.
And then he started shooting in the muster room, in the meeting room. He killed your sons and daughters, our sons and our daughters. And nobody's. And then we called it workplace violence. By calling it workplace violence and not terror, all the ones, families who's lost loved ones and ones that got injured do not get the benefits those that was in terror. So now we pull back all benefits from them.
Wow.
While we're giving benefits to, I'm not even going to talk about that. And this guy standing up going, no, I am a terrorist.
Right.
I am a jihadist. That's why I did it.
Wow.
And it's like, you can either go, get some duct tape, my head's about to blow up.
Mm.
You could just scream. You could get, you know, call your legislators and go, you know, what is your problem? Or you could look at the ways of God and go, God's about to take this nation back.
Mm-hmm.
They turn it on themselves.
Yeah.
This is stupid. I mean, this is outright ignorant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's so much of it. It's just like you look at some of some of the leaders in regards to in Congress, and you think, oh, did you really say that? I remember that from the fifth grade, I think. I remember that. I think I remember the fifth grade. I remember somebody saying what you just said.
All right.
You know, it's like, and you can get upset and think, well, I don't know what we're going to do here. You can go, God's about to deliver this nation.
That's right.
Because what's happening at this moment, those that are following darkness and the Midianite mindset, mm-hmm. and the thing, they're turning in on themselves. And don't be yelling at the darkness as a believer. Just sit back and begin to just blow your horn and break your pitchers and shine the light of God, the gospel, and watch God defeat the enemy and get ready when God begins to bring down the enemy by its turning on itself, the enemy of God and the enemy of our nation. Just get ready to possess the land. You know, get ready to help them enter in to a place of forgiveness and restoration, or, you know, the family of God, because it's all going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? The rapidness of what's taking place right now is amazing. Here we're looking for ways to pay benefits to same-sex couples and trying to figure out how to get the benefits to them. At the same time, we're denying benefits of victims of terrorists at mm-hmm. Fort Hood at the very same moment. And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to give benefits to same-sex couples, that's what you're going to do. Okay. But don't deny the benefits
right.
over here to these ones who just got their loved ones blown away and the baby killed in her womb and she was mm-hmm. killed and family law. I mean, we should just like, oh, what are we doing?
Wow. Mm.
What are we doing in the context? Why would we want to deny them any? You know, it's like, my goodness, what is happening to us?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening to us? Know this. That when you look at the things, when God begins to do something, because when he does things, he does it in a way where he gets the glory. In other words, he always does it, but if he does it in a way that it's obvious, then his people will give him the glory and realize this is our God that loves us enough to forgive us, to restore us, and to deliver us. When you look at all the things that happened with George Washington, and we've talked about that before, you can go back to original intent. And hear some of those awesome things, how the wind changed, how mm-hmm. fog came in, how the boats couldn't come in because of a storm of the British soldiers and these different things that were going on. I mean, God's involved in the affairs of men. But right now, God's involved in the affairs of America. And it's all, I mean, if it's not comical to you, if you're losing your business, you're losing your job, and you're fearful of death. But if you're not fearful of death and you trust God in it, that God's plans are going to work out in it, whatever it is, then you got to look back and go, this is one continual stand-up routine. And the sad thing about it is very few people know it's comedy.
Right. Mm.
They take it seriously. It's like, come on. You know, you asked the guy a plain question, plain as day on the committee. You said, are you looking at America's information? Are you looking at the data that you're collecting with the NSA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got grown folks asking the question that we elected to go there. And so this is their answer. Well, I don't have the authority to do that. Any wow. parent that heard a child say that is like, I didn't ask you about no authority.
Yeah,
the
right.
answer is yes or no.
Yes or no.
Are you looking at it or not? And then they went on to the next question. And you're thinking like, okay, all
wow.
right, wow.
Yeah.
Brum, boom, right? Brum, boom. The drum that got to the joke.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And no, but it's like, did anybody in the world notice what this teenager just said? They said
right.
that they're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's so obvious. Or a statement like, what does it matter anyway? We have dead soldiers on our, you know, the ambassador is dead. It's like, well, it kind of matters if you were involved in the process and
right.
you're the one knocking off our ambassadors.
Exactly.
Or you know about it and you're polygraphing, you know, everybody's children that works at the government every 5 seconds to see if they're telling about what they know. It's kind of like, what do you know?
Mm.
You know, what do you know in the context of that? So, you know, you could go, you could be, you know, fearful or concerned. You can go like, whoa, this thing's coming to a conclusion. You know, America as we know it, the church as we know it, it's not over. It's just coming to a conclusion, and we're about to enter into a new season.
Mm.
About to enter into a new season. There's a transitional thing that's going to be taking place, and God's establishing. He's establishing. I guess you would call them hubs, apostolic centers. He's establishing outposts. Spiritual outposts, not military outposts, of God's people throughout the land. And Chuck Pierce talks about, he and Dutch Sheets, I believe, went to all 50 states. And they prayed, and they just asked God, you know, what's happening in this state? What's happening in that state? Because, which is, just thank God that God looks at states individually.
Yes.
You know, yes. I'd hate to be responsible for our stuff and California stuff.
And New York's.
Oh, yeah, right.
He ain't my man.
Right. You know, and so God gave them an extended vision over revelation over America and over each of the states. And one thing that God showed him was there was going to be these outposts established in America and apostolic hubs. You know, that were God's government, the fulfillment of what, you know, it's gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to be able to do his work here on earth. And only 21 states out of 50, some politicians say 53, some say
57.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
You go back and listen to us, I'm sure we have a few of those things. We're like, can y'all edit out the 60 state comment? Anyway, so it's hard to think and move your mouth at the same time. But only 21 out of 50 states, this is what God revealed to him. And he wrote about it, you know, in his book. And I don't have it with me right now. I can tell you more tomorrow.
Releasing the prophetic destiny of nations. Are you talking about Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets?
Well, that was they wrote about that was their prayer journey over the 50 states. Yeah. But anyway, revelation was there's going to be 21 states that align with God, which means more than half of the states do not align with God.
Right.
Of course, your immediate response is, okay, which one won't? I'm moving. You know,
where am I not going?
I'm ready to move. You know, it doesn't matter to me. And then these apostolic hubs, these hubs that God's established, and these spiritually kingdom of God minded governmental hubs will do battle for the original intent, the founding God's original intent over this nation. You know, whether it's a success or not, that is the direction that it seems prophetically that's taking place. Which means not battle like a jihadist. I mean, it's you know, when somebody in Islam, radical Islam, says battle, they're talking about a sword, a bomb, an EID.
And your head.
They're talking about, you know, wrapping a bomb around themselves or you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And pulling out a sword, a physical metal sword. Mm-hmm. When a Christian who's not deceived talks about spiritual battle. They're talking about pulling out the word of God. That's the sword of the spirit, and begin to speak out the power, the powerful anointed word of God, and that begins to do warfare against the very thing that we wrestled against, which is spiritual wickedness. Not we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. So the context is, you know, those who walk with God understand it's not a flesh battle; it's a spiritual battle. Those who don't walk with God but walk with religions, they mm-hmm. believe it's a physical battle, and you need some fleshly government type thing going on. You got to hurt people's flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a day that the church actually went through a season, the Dark Ages, where they were actually doing a few things like that. And so in these 21 states, and there will be cities that have these hubs in it. And what we're so excited, and one of the key hub states, and if you know anything about, if you're following anything's happening in America, it's not a shocker that there's going to be definitely one hub state. One apostolic original intent, founding father, God's purpose, you know, for this nation. And it's the Lone Star State.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The Lone Star State. Texas. And it'll be one of the key factors, you know, prophesied by Chuck Pierce in this, that would help battle for the original intent of America, which is pretty cool because when you think about it, you start thinking about, does anybody even remember the original intent? And mm-hmm. if you do remember it, do you like the idea of being who we used to be? And we've come so far over the last 100 years, it's kind of hard to find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we can find ourselves if we go back and begin to that's why we talk about the original intent on VFN Radio. And look at our Constitution. You know, people are wanting to do away with our Constitution, but understand this, the Bill of Civil Rights, you know, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution enables you to walk freely and just so many things. It'd just be a different world without that. It'd be like Egypt is right now, you know, without the Constitution. It'd be like Turkey, where they're beginning to lose their constitutional viewpoint. And those that defended it, they're locking them up. And what I'm excited about is that prior to even hearing the word that God shared with Chuck Pierce, God had already shared that with me about a hub, and we've been walking out for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the VFN hub, and you have VFN radio, VFN hub, and all the things that are going on. And we're excited about and be talking more about in the future about the VFN Dream Center going to be established in Pensacola, Florida, in the Emerald Coast, because God specifically said that's where I want it.
That's right. Mm.
That's where I want it. Sure? And it was exciting because we were actually headed towards Texas to establish the VFN hub, or the VFN Dream Center, and it's already set up. Mm. I mean, it's the hub state. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Hello? You go to Texas, and it's like everybody drives good there because you don't know somebody else might... Everybody's got a gun.
That's right.
You know, you cut somebody off, you just kind of pause for a moment, pull over, and just say, okay, good, good, good. It's very little crime that was up there in the northern parts. It was a lot in the cities. But that God specifically said, you know, Pensacola, Escambia County, actually, Panhandle. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing. And so I want to encourage you. And begin to listen intently to VFN TV, watch VFN TV, and listen to VFN Radio, because we're going to begin to unfold some things. I mean, God's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Things are in chaos right now, and leadership in the world is just in some quagmire. But it's that way because God's people, the church leadership, is not wanting to move into what God is doing in his form of leadership for this next season. But guess what? It's beginning to happen. It's beginning to happen. And it's going to be apostolic hubs, outposts that are established, that are networking and rightly relating to other apostolic hubs that are replacing, that are potential replacements for what we were used to in the previous season of the church. Now, listen, God is doing everything, and everything God has done is good. And if it wasn't for what God did, what he's doing wouldn't be here, because that generation carried the torch to this generation. But when he begins to do a new thing, we have to be willing to let go of what was by honoring it, because it's God, and dedicating ourselves fully to what God is doing and going to do, so he can bring to this next generation his love, his kindness, his kingdom, and his hope and his deliverance. God is doing a new thing, and it's going to be awesome.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.